John Hankey is an independent documentary filmmaker. He teaches how history really unfolded and exposes conspiracies you didn't know existed. His films cover a wide array of topics, including the JFK assassination, the Rothschilds, October 7th, and Trump's failed assassination attempt. Put on your headphones, grab your tinfoil hat, and get ready to learn how the world really operates with John Hankey.
Dark Legacy 2 is about the assassination of John Kennedy Jr. So John Kennedy Jr.'s plane crashes, and he was expected. And one of the people who was expecting him was a an Emmy Award-winning news producer. So she knows her way around. And she calls up the FAA to try to report that the plane is missing. And the rules of the FAA is that if somebody calls in that a plane is missing, you immediately begin a search, right? And there was no search. The FAA did not begin a search for 11 and a half hours. And, you know, she wrote a book about it in which she details all the stuff that she did. Now, she never, you know, throws down her hat and says, damn it, these guys, why are they resisting me? I think 2 o'clock in the morning, she wakes up Ted Kennedy and says, I can't get them to look for the plane. They won't put a plane in the air to look for the plane. And Kennedy wakes up. Isn't it? I thought it was John Podesta, but Clinton's chief of staff, something like Clinton's chief of staff. And I think he's afraid to wake Clinton up until 5 o'clock in the morning. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, he wakes Clinton up, and Clinton says, you tell the Air Force and the FAA that if they don't have planes in the air in 5 minutes, they're all fired. They don't need to come to work on Monday. This is, it would have been Saturday morning at 5 a.m. And so they put planes in and they search Long Island Sound. They don't go anywhere near Martha's Vineyard. And it turns out that there was a guy named Todd Burgun who worked for the Coast Guard and who got a phone call from, from the Boston, I think it's Channel 5, and it doesn't matter. But it's in Dark Legacy 2, which is also on Prime, and also, anyway, do me a favor and buy it anyway, or you can watch it for free on Prime. Anyway, Burgun gets this phone call from the station. And people in Boston are loyal to the Kennedys, right? If you want to find people who are loyal to the Kennedys, even in newsroom, you're going to, especially 20 years ago, talking about the disappearance of John Kennedy Jr., you got a lot of very, very loyal people, including the people in the Coast Guard. And so this guy in the Coast Guard says, well, yeah, I talked to the guys at the tower, and John Kennedy's plane was 10 miles out from, he was on final approach, 10 miles out, 2,000 feet, at whatever it was, 950. I'm making that number up. I haven't watched that video in a number of years. Anyway, and it turns out I got a hold of the NTSB report. I had to contact my congressman. The NTSB is supposed to send you their report if you ask for it, and they didn't, and they didn't, and they didn't, and they didn't. So I contacted my congressperson, and she got them to give her the report, and I read it, 350 pages. And there's all sorts of interesting things in it, including the report that at 10 minutes, supposedly according to the FAA, Kennedy never contacted the tower. Well, I contacted several of Kennedy's flight instructors who all said, that's no way. He was the most careful pilot any of them had ever contacted. And contacting the FAA along, it's called flight following, I think, along your route, because, a storm could be rolling in or some giant 747 might have engine trouble and had to turn around and is heading towards you. If you contact them, they'll warn you about that stuff. So you're supposed to do it. And Kennedy did everything. If it was on the list, he did the 20th thing on the list in order to maintain flight safety. And they say he didn't contact any of the towers, but they do have the radar. The NTSB had the radar report, and the radar shows that at 950, he was 10 miles off, 2,000 feet in the air. And suddenly the plane went, they contacted the tower and the plane went straight down. And my conclusion is, well, and Kennedy told several people that he was going to be flying with a flight instructor. It was a relatively new plane. It had all sorts of fancy bells and whistles on it. And he had flight instructors to teach him how to, that it would land, it would, right? You type in where you're going and you can sit back and go to sleep and it'll land you. You'll wake up as the wheels touch the ground. It was that sort of a sophisticated plane. And it had, I forget who explained this to me. I talked to the guy who wrote the report for the NTSB. It had a signal in it that if the plane crashed, it would send out a signal immediately to the FAA. So the FAA knew exactly. Within, I talked to the head of the Coast Guard in California, and he told me within 3 feet. Those locators will tell you within 3 feet the location of where the plane went down. And it took them 11 and a half hours to send craft to the location. And what were they doing for 11 and a half hours? And, you know, my conjecture, if you have a better answer than me, please let me know. But my answer is that Kennedy never flew without a flight instructor. His wife certainly wouldn't have gotten on that plane without a flight instructor on board. And that he told several people he was going to fly with a flight instructor. And there was no flight instructor. And my answer is that the flight instructor had been programmed that when he heard the sign-off from Martha's Vineyard, he would plunge the plane straight down, which is exactly what happened. The NTSB found no defect whatsoever in the electronics or the avionics, right? Nothing connected with that plane until it hit the water had gone wrong, except that somebody had grabbed the steering yoke and decided that they were going to commit suicide. And so my explanation is that they were recovering the body of the flight instructor, and the flight instructor is missing, as is the seat that they apparently had him strapped to when they drug him away from the scene. They have the entire plane except for the pilot seat, or is it the co-pilot seat? I guess it's the co-pilot seat. It doesn't matter. So that's JFK2. As a matter of fact, I mean, I don't like engaging in conjecture. But scientists do it, right? The Big Bang, the solar system was conjecture for at least 100 years after Galileo. And, you know, all the most serious scientists in the world regarded it as unproven, plausible conjecture. And so I'm sitting here, I have all of this information, right, that I've gathered showing that he was murdered. Who would want to kill John Kennedy Jr.? He didn't have an enemy in the world, did he? And I'm wrestling with this for weeks, trying to figure out what possible motive there could have been to murder this guy and his wife and his sister-in-law. I mean, you know, good gravy. And I woke up one morning and Henry Kissinger was saying to me, the father killed the father, the son should kill the son. And that's in the movie, I have Kissinger say that. But Bush Sr. made his bone in Dallas. That's very proven fact, as far as I'm concerned, that, you know, that there's a point at which the evidence is beyond a reasonable doubt. And if you watch Dark Legacy, you will see that the evidence is beyond a reasonable doubt that he was involved in the Kennedy assassination. So I go to look. So, all right. So my demon inhabiting my head tells me that George Bush Jr. made his bone by killing John Kennedy Jr. And, you know, if I were writing fiction, that would have an enormous amount of appeal. But I'm not writing fiction, and I have no interest in writing fiction or reading it for that matter anyhow. So I go to look for where George Bush was, and I discover that he's running for president. He's behind in the polls. I believe he had just lost. No, I think New Hampshire was in a couple of weeks and he was behind in the polls. And I think he may have gone on to lose New Hampshire, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a couple of weeks before the primary and it's a weekend. It's prime campaigning time and he disappears. And the media contacted his campaign manager, Karen Hughes, and said, we want to talk to the now only surviving son of a former president and get his reaction. And Karen Hughes says, he's not here. And they say, where is he? And she says, I don't know. That was her official response. And I can go on and on about that. Shall I go on for a minute? I'll take another minute. And it fits, right? It's such a neat fit that I would be distrustful. I'm distrustful of neat fits. History isn't typically that way. Anyhow, so I don't remember where I ran. Well, you know, I got my ear to the ground in 150 different places. And I heard this story from the Sacramento Bee, if I'm not mistaken. I end up talking to the reporter from the Sacramento Bee, and she had filed a story saying that Bush Jr. was at the Bohemian Grove celebrating on Saturday night. Well, the body was recovered. Well, they didn't start looking for it for 11 and a half hours. At noon on Saturday, they started looking for it. I don't know how. I don't think it was recovered for 3 days. But they started looking for it at noon. And Bush was seen at the Bohemian Grove probably 8 p.m. Pacific time, which is 11 p.m. Western time. And she writes that he was seen at the Bohemian Grove celebrating the day that, the day after John Kennedy Jr.'s death. She may not have included all of that, but she published this story and she gets a call from Karen Hughes. And Karen Hughes says, Bush wasn't at the Bohemian Grove. And the reporter tells me, all right, I interviewed this reporter myself, and she tells me, I have a witness. You know, it's an employee. He was there. There's no question about the fact that he was there. He had a job. He was supposed to be there. He didn't call in sick. He was there. He had no reason to say that he saw Bush Jr. there other than that he saw Bush Jr. there. And he says that he saw Bush Jr. there. And Karen Hughes says, we demand a retraction. And the reporter told her, well, you tell me where he was and I'll print a retraction. Click. And this is what the reporter is describing to me. That was the last word that Karen Hughes had to say. Once she demanded to know where Bush was, you're not going to find out where Bush was, because apparently we can't tell you where Bush was, because why not? And why wasn't he out campaigning? So I don't know if I were on the jury whether I would sentence Bush Jr. to die on the basis of that evidence. I might. Given who his father, right? If once you plug in the stuff about his father, well, now, you know, it's like if you're the son of a mafiosi who killed the father of the guy that we're accusing you of killing, that's very considerable, important background, I think. Anyway.
Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.